Good evening. Does everyone have the aspects of sitting? Copies of this Koban material? Not sure Samia has it. Samia, do you have a copy of this? Yesterday, I mean last week. Let's get you one. These are Koban's words, cobbled together many years ago. '87, many years ago. So, this one's pretty short. It's not that short, is it? Well, it's not that long either. Thought maybe we should just read it all the way through. I think it's easier to talk about if we've all heard it with our own ears together. It's the one called Posture on page 3.
Year after year, our physical posture becomes polished. By repeated sitting, our muscles become very refined, not pulling one way. When your muscles become very balanced, you're able to feel almost nothing is there. All your intestines, your bones, are in the same balance. When our body is able to take the right posture, when you sit as if no one is sitting there, you feel yourself. The way to find your best posture is to focus your attention on the feelings of your body. It's hard to say what it is. An inner eye, an inner sensation which is able to observe every part of your body.
When you are awake, you feel every part of your body, its surface, a little bit inside, deep inside all parts. When you take the best posture you can possibly reach, at that time you are weightless, and you aren't aware of your effort to keep that posture. The point is to have a stretched spine with your neck straight along the spine. When you slightly lean right or left or backwards, you can find which point is your straight posture. This is related to the incredible pull of gravity. 1,000,000,000 lines of gravity pull you down. You swing your body from left to right, and finally you come to one point.
It doesn't continue that way. We again crumble down, so we have to again build it up. Maybe every 20 minutes or so you have to redo it. It is a very natural position, but we have incredible habits which are hard to correct. Every time we correct our sitting position, we always go back to a more comfortable posture.
To have the foot soles facing upwards is very important. To have soles going downwards, up your feet, pressing down on your thighs. It is not an accidental discovery, but a polished discovery. They should not be like that, because then there is a very grounded sensation of being on the earth, not flowing or flying, purposely in the air.
The eyes should be kept open because you see through everything, because your seeing is not your seeing, so you should see through. All our sense organs are finally constructed awakenings. You don't have to stare. As you notice, all information from the sense organs comes together moment after moment, and the mind eye is always functioning. Everyone actually has it. It's not newly open. It's very easy to mess up your posture just by rolling your eyeballs around. If you come back to keeping your eyes still, then something opens up.
Your sitting still is like a person who just shot an arrow, and a moment later the result is there. What you know is the sense that the arrow is moving all right. It has left your realm, but you sense it's running well. Stillness is like that. In the stillness, you see intuitions are going all right. you sense every kind of intuition.
The form of the human body is a continuity of karmic force. Without parents, you wouldn't exist here. Without you, your children, all next generations could not exist. So in this sense, to have a body on this earth has a very karmic reason and result. Without this karmic condition, you cannot exist as the expression of ultimate force.
You can say there is a right posture for sitting. Many times during sesshin, you hit that right posture, then swing away from it, and then go back to it. You understand what right posture is for you. You can see it, perceive it. It relates with your mind state at that time. Right posture in sitting creates the contents of sitting from all that you have been experiencing up to now. It requires detachment from your desire to do it. You let it happen by itself. So right posture is not that you are doing sitting. Right posture itself is the sitting, and the system of your whole body is going into that posture.
The period of sitting is not your own sitting. Physically, you feel it is your sitting you do. The inner view of one sitting, which is utterly an external view too, includes your personal existence. It includes everything from which your mind is continuously working. The arising of memories, whatever you have experienced, is always there. No matter whether you deny them or accept them, they are there.
Not only that, but as time passes, the contents change. So posture is how to keep going, how to keep the posture you have taken. As you notice, this physical condition of existence is a very dynamic thing which you cannot stop. It goes by itself. Maybe all things go by themselves. You are that, and you are able to experience and feel it.
Sitting is always pointless, you know. When we touch sitting with this body, it feels like putting a thumb on paper. This is it, touching time, space, or creating matter in time, space. That's how I feel when I sit. The more sitting goes still, almost stopping, the more it feels like time stops. At that time, there is no more distinctions between this body and actual things. Things feel as if they're extensions of the body. It's not a frozen kind of realization, but the very powerful presence of the sensation that you are really there as what you are, what things are, without naming each thing that's there. Even that what you are is also there. I mean the thing which holds the phenomenal experiential phenomena as your own body is also yourself. You may say time-space or space-time or simply void or something like that. Phenomenon together are there.
A slight move of mind causes lots of insights out of our past experience and out of images you have been making toward the future. It causes imagination about the relationship of all people and situations in the present time with no distinction between past, present, and future. Just the enormous dynamic of where you live, what's there, all existing as yourself.
This body is a very fine thing at such a time, continuously pressing the sitting spot. If you sit slanted, yet your mudra is perfect, it is strange. It is the same as sitting while you imagine that you are dancing somewhere. No one can see it, only you yourself can feel it. But dance is dance and sitting is sitting. So when you sit, you must sit instead of thinking of some fantastic thing. But it is not necessary to develop consciousness of the self alone. You have to release that conscious self about yourself. Otherwise you will be caught by sitting very well. Those kinds of waves of mind are not necessary.
The time of sitting is timeless, actually. When you take the right position, you have nothing to think about anymore, nothing to bring up from any place, past or future, that which can be called the present moment, where you are and what you are, actually is there, so that the physical posture we take in sitting is a part of whole posture, where it is, actually. Many, many things meditate, because essentially everything meditates in that space.
That's it. I often tell about one of the first Dharma talks I gave during a session, when I started talking about posture and emphasizing the importance of staying upright and being freely breathing. And when I opened it for discussion, somebody kind of attacked me. He said, "Why are you talking about the body? This is meditation." He said, "This is about, you know," I don't know what he thought it was about, but he thought it had nothing to do with the body and that that was extra and just a distraction from this spiritual practice. But our practice is not spiritual in that way. It's all about the body. The body is what we are. It's what we've got. So in some practices, there's each practice has a different kind of emphasis on the body. In Theravadan practice, they use the Satipatthana Sutra, one of the earliest teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha, where it's called mindfulness. And being mindfully and ardently aware of one's comportment, one's breathing, the way one feels, how one's mind is going also is part of that. But the very first one is the body and the breath. The Tibetans get much more elaborate, much more complicated about it, and the Zens emphasize extremely much. Actually, I think it can be overemphasized, so that people become extremely rigid and extremely repressed. And it isn't about that either. It's about comfortably being balanced as a body. I remember once I went to Koban in a time of great distress, and I sat down face to face with him, and I was sitting very straight and very stiff, and my mudra was like this. I didn't know it. But he looked at it, and he said, something's a little out of balance here. Oh, I thought it was straight. But you can experiment with your body and see the difference in the kind of mudras. If you open up this way, if you close it this way, if you hold your thumb and press it against your hara, or this very dynamic cosmic mudra, it's called, which connects the whole system and focuses it. So they often suggest that we put our mind in the hara or in the hands as they rest against the hara. I just finished a very short poetry workshop. And we were requested to write about a statue, and I found myself writing about the thinker who is like this. And when I pictured it in my mind, I thought, he's crushing everything down here. He's just mashing his breath can't come, so he's not informing his brain with any oxygen, and he can't. His heart can't fully beat, you know. So the point of our upright posture is not to show off how how good we are, but to free ourselves up so that the whole thing can function freely. And of course, most of us start when we're not children. When Koban started, he was 2, I think, when he was given his first zazen instruction. And Suzuki Roshi's son, Hoitz, often talks about learning to sit zazen and how he can still to this day in his 60s sit down and put his legs in full lotus without using his hands. He just pulls his leg up and then the other one over here. I don't know how he does it, but it's because he's been doing it and living on the floor for his whole life. And Koban talks about, you know, the full lotus position, which is very important, but none of us can do that. And it's not essential to do that. As we get older, we modify, and then we modify again. I think the 105-year-old abbot of Eheji Monastery must be leaning back in the chair that he sits in the zendo. I can't imagine that he's, but he's still sitting with the monks every day in the zendo. So the main thing is to feel for yourself how you are. Each person is a little bit different. Of course, we look different and we function a little bit differently. Some people say at the women's weekend that I went to, Grace was saying she thought women and men had sit differently, and that while men hold their mudra down just below the navel, that women should be holding it higher. I've been experimenting with that, and that doesn't feel right at all. I think this is the center of us. As we sit, certainly this is our center of balance. So, and this is our wisdom, actually. Our mind becomes less busy the more we're able to focus down in the depths of our body. We tend, when we're thinking, to forget that we have a body at all. And so the instruction is just to come back to the breath, come back to what's really happening, even though the mind is painting all kinds of very dramatic pictures and convincing us of the reality of what's going on in our mind. And it's just stuff. It's not real. And Koban's emphasis on not trying to obliterate your thoughts is very important also. Many people think that that's the effort, and it's an enormous effort. If you try to do that, you break out in a sweat. It's an impossible task, and not necessary. The main thing is simply to be where you are and breathe there, and let whatever is going on just go on. If it's troublesome, you can stop. This is what I do. I stop and I bow to it, and wish it well. You know, it's really a part of oneself, and in a way, it's a cruel and unhealthy thing to try to cut it off or make it go away. It's a part of us, and so we can appreciate it, even though we know it's just a kind of dream state. But we can bow and appreciate it and then let it go. Or let it stay if it wants to stay, and just breathe with it. And if it's a very negative state, that's a hard thing to do, but it's even harder to try to get rid of it. It's counterintuitive, but that's the truth of it. So the more upright we can be, the better. And as we all know, we can't always be completely upright. but the straighter the spine, straight meaning not really straight, having a bend where the spine wants to bend, the lumbar curve is very important. The waist bone, Koban used to call that, you know, and the waist bone is just opposite the hara. So to be aware of the back as well as the front and be a solid figure, that helps to, if the back is curved, then the front relaxes. And if this part is relaxed, then the breath comes more easily. And there's much in this part that we can discover in the stillness of sitting. But it takes a while. You will find in Sesshin, it takes a while to get comfortable and you'll always be adjusting. As Koban said, you just finally get the perfect position and think you really got it now, and before you know it, you know, gravity has pulled you right down again. So it's nothing to be upset about. It's just to recognize and correct until the next time. Are there questions? Lauren?
This is kind of a technical question. When you read something about correct posture for sitting, almost always it seems to me some spiritual value is attached to having your soles facing upward, the soles of your feet. Now, I can't do that.
I can't either.
I try once in a while, I sort of practice a little bit.
Yeah.
But, for example, in Donovan's position, right, if you sit seiza, that takes care of that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Samya seems to manage it mostly, right? I mean, you have your soles up.
I'm just making it look good for now.
But, does it have independent value to try to do that? I mean, for example, is it worth sitting on a bench in order to achieve that? If you can't achieve that by sitting up.
Well, Koban never said so. And I think if you wanted to aim for perfection, that's probably the way it is, that is probably a truth about our body, that the more exposed our whole body is to the air and the sky, you could say, as well as the earth, the more exposed and vulnerable we are.
It's something that you can aim for even if you're not sitting in even half
lotus. Yes, yes. But also, I've always thought, and I don't know how true this is, but in my experience, I used to be able to sit full lotus for about half an hour and half lotus for a few years until I hurt my knee skiing. But I always thought full lotus, even half lotus, tied us up in knots. So even if you wanted to run away, you couldn't. And it keeps you fully exposed and vulnerable and absolutely fixed in place at the same time. So there's a kind of psychological component to it that so that you sort of have to give up you know, that restless feeling of wanting to get up and go and do something because this is too boring or this is too scary or something. You're just absolutely stuck there. And then you can just surrender. It's easier. Samia?
Are there exercises? I mean, I know we just read that, but actual, like, number one, of course you straighten your back, but doing stuff from the middle here, holding your thumb in. I mean, I feel things fall in place for about 2 seconds. It's like, wow, that feels good. How did it get there again? You know? But I feel it has to do with maybe holding, like when you do sit-ups. I mean, I know that's very technical. But as pain starts
happening, it's like you start doing different things just to relieve the pain.
Yes.
But are there anything written about that?
Well, there are lots of yoga exercises, of course, for all of this, you know, to widen, to loosen up your hips and to strengthen your back. One very nice thing about your belly is just to lie on your back. And on your back, it's very easy to relax your belly and breathe with it. And then when you sit up, it suddenly gets sort of tight. But once you get used to that feeling, then it's easier when you're sitting up. So there are a lot of things that, you know, yoga exercises that you can do to prepare. We're going to do yoga at the Sesshin. Ritu is going to lead it. And I'm glad because I think it will be very helpful.
And then changing legs.
Yes, changing legs.
What about this?
No, that never gets changed.
I mean, it changes, though, the length of your hands, because this is shorter. If you do this one, this is shorter.
Well, usually you hold it this way, so...
Not there yet.
But you're not doing it that way, so... Well, then you could change from side to
but
side.
But then this way, you don't even change?
No.
How come?
I don't know.
And it's usually
the right hand holds the left hand.
Okay.
When you
and then you said you hold it here. Well, if you're sitting right here, mm-hmm. what's going to be holding here? It's like you need pillows for you.
Well, you can put a towel in your lap, and that will hold your hands.
Okay.
And then your shoulders and your elbows will take care of themselves.
So they need to be supported. You don't want to hold your elbows.
Well, I'm used to it.
So you do hold it. Your hands are not resting somewhere.
No. Usually if I have a shirt on like this, I roll it up and then I try to tuck my hand in it. No. Oh, the monks have long sleeves, really long sleeves, and they wad them up and put them in their lap and put their hands on top.
Okay.
So we don't have that. So we have to make do. Some people use a little pillow.
But you do want your hands about here and not
yes,
resting
yes,
down on your legs.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this about?
Yeah, yeah. Where's your belly button? So it's about 2 inches below the belly button. You have to look and see.
So for most of us, then, if we are resting our arms on our legs, that's too
far. It's too far.
But if we, like that, that's uncomfortable. I mean, you can't fully expose and set it.
Well, if you put something under it, you can. And you can eventually do it without something also.
So, and you suggest putting it under your hand?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to under
mm-hmm.
Because I was doing that under there. I still don't have my arms comfortable.
It'll take a while.
More than a year?
Probably.
I think that at my first doctor's son with COVID, he put my hand, and I was surprised at how high he put it.
Hmm.
Well, you said there are two possible positions.
Yes.
I have the sense.
Above the navel?
I remember that he had my hand.
You never did that for me. Maybe it was for
it's
you.
Special.
Yes, it might have been. Huh. One of the things he says in here that's important, that's helpful, is when you sit down to start, that you sway back and forth and find that way you can feel your body in space, and then make the swaying go shorter and shorter, so that when you end up, you kind of feel where your balance is. And then when the bell rings and it's over, you can to re-enter, you could say, you can do short little swings and then make them longer until you've begun to feel ready to get up. There's often a lot of talk about not being able to sit on a cushion. And some people take that so seriously, the importance of sitting on a cushion, that they just lose their perspective completely. Everybody should know that you can do meditation lying on your back, or sitting in a chair, or standing. Any of the positions will work. And you have to modify it and work with yourself in order to make it work. But you never have to give up zazen for how your body is. You can always find a way. And it's well to know that, because it's the meditation itself, not the state of the body, that's important.
It's also worth mentioning that it's not the intention that you injure your knees.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Oh, that about the pain that you were talking about. Yeah, pain comes up as we sit because gravity is pulling on us all the time. And we're bending ourselves in ways that we're not used to. And we have resistance. And often our mental resistance comes out in our physical composure. And so a good deal of zazen, long if you're sitting for long, is coming to terms with the pain. Pain is the next subject. So we'll talk about that week after next. It's a very interesting subject. So, in the early days when I was sitting with Koban, the people were, especially the young macho guys, were talking about sitting through the pain. You just grit your teeth and you endure it, no matter what. And a lot of them broke the cartilage in their knees. It was not good. Not smart. You have to really work on it to break the cartilage in your knees. It's not easy to do. So don't worry about it. You know, if you feel a little pain, you're not going to. But be careful. And know when you're malingering, maybe, and getting off on the pain, because pain can be a great distraction and keep you from actually being where you are. But it's also a signal that our body gives when it's in trouble. So you have to make that distinction, and it's up to us. Well, I wish us all a lot of luck. and a lot of joy. We'll keep it up and talk about pain when we come back. And everybody will be an expert.
A lot to talk about.
Yes, yes, we will.